This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the MVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. At some point or another, we have dealt with toxic people, individuals who drain your life force right out of you. You can be full of energy in one moment, and after talking to them, you can feel as if you just ran a marathon. So joining me to explain how to spot and deal with toxic relationships is author, marriage, and family therapist, Shadeen Francis. Thanks for joining me, Shadeen.
It's great to be here.
Before we get into the toxicity of people, could you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Shadeen Francis, as you already said, and I am a marriage and family therapist. I typically specialize in sex therapy and social justice, so there are issues and concerns that I'm routinely working with, but my world is really biased around relationships. I really see the world as an interconnection of just numerous relationships. I think relationships are super important, which brings me to, our particular topic today. I think the more that we can understand about how we connect with people and maybe the times at which it's not going well, I think we can really change the tone of our entire lives.
You know, when it comes to toxic people, or just the word toxic itself, it kind of gets thrown around a lot. I mean, how do you know when you're dealing with someone toxic or it's just someone you don't like?
Yeah, well, I actually don't consider any individual person as toxic, only because I feel it's kind of damning to label someone in that way, and it leaves so little room for people's genuine capacity for goodness and their potential for change. But we can absolutely have toxic relationships. And recognizing the difference between a relationship that feels toxic and it's draining, or maybe you just don't enjoy the person, I think that we kind of have to trust our guts a little bit, around some of these things. How do you actually feel about that person? Is there something that rubs you about them kind of the wrong way? Or do you find yourself feeling drained every time, after you hang out with them? Or maybe you feel a little bit of dread when you're about to hang out with them or connect with them? Right, that we actually have a pretty good internal reading of when something's not right.
Relationships, they kind of change over time. So have you ever noticed somebody who's been with someone for 5 years or maybe even in their own family, suddenly they just kind of dread to be around them? Would you say that it's them, or is it the relationship evolved into this?
Yeah, that can be a really tough one, right? Because if you're in a relationship with someone, both of you change over time, right? And your situations change over time, right? Your context change, right? If we were to say 5 years, maybe you start a relationship when you're 25, right? Your life could look entirely different by the time you're 30. Maybe you're married. Maybe you have kids. Maybe you're thinking about other hopes and dreams that you're trying to accomplish. Maybe things in your work environment are different. Right, there's so many things that can change, and so it might not just be any particular person, right? Maybe your neighborhood is different. Maybe your routines are different. So many things can play a factor in how you relate to one another in your relationship.
So what do you do when you start feeling like that? I mean, you start thinking this person is just draining all my energy and all my emotions. Is that something that Is it okay to feel like that? Especially I didn't think of that. If you have kids together or a house or a mortgage, what do you do in that kind of a situation?
I always really encourage people first to check in with themselves, right? And ask yourself, how am I feeling? How am I doing? What is it that I'm noticing? And from there, asking a follow-up question about what is it that I need, right? Is there something that I'm needing that I'm not getting? Quite often, we don't prioritize self-care in our relationships, and I don't just mean our romantic relationships. This is also true for our friendships, right? That if you've made a commitment to someone, whether it's a social commitment, as we do with friends, if it's a family loyalty, so we could have these kinds of relationships maybe with our parents or our siblings, or if it's, kind of a legal contract, or a domestic contract that we've made, on accounts of relationships and marriages, right? we stop checking in with ourselves on what's good for us, and we really prioritize what works for the other person. And when we start to notice that our relationships are feeling toxic, it often is a sign that we're not doing a great job of, one, taking care of ourselves in our interactions with this person, and two, setting and maintaining boundaries with other people.
You know, the boundary portion, I totally get. And I think it's a lot easier when it's your friends, or even if it's a relationship, you're not married, you know, you can kind of cut it off at any point. But when it comes to boundaries and family, how do you deal with that? Because, I mean, it may not be your mother. It could be like your father or your uncles or your aunts or cousins. Like, it's kind of hard to avoid those people when it's like holidays. So what can you do to keep the boundaries there with them?
I think that really being able to kind of be a little bit assertive, and I know that doesn't feel comfortable for all of us in our families, right? But to try and make agreements for things ahead of time, right? So if there are, you know, X number of holidays in a year that the family typically gathers, right? Letting folks know kind of ahead of time, hey, I won't be available for X holiday this year, right? Sometimes we can kind of, you know, give ourselves a little bit of an out if maybe we are partnered and have other places to be, right? Saying, you know what, I think that this year it would be good for me to take a turn going to X's family for the holidays, right? We can also think about, if we are showing up, how we can manage a little bit of that closeness and distance, right? So maybe there's certain conversations that you choose not to engage in. Maybe there's a certain place at the dinner table that you don't sit, right? Maybe you spend a little bit more time, maybe if you're the host, kind of occupying yourself, you know, with host duties or hostess duties, right? Maybe you need kind of a buffer. Maybe there's a family member that you do get along with a little bit better that you can kind of say, hey, I'm trying to work on boundaries with X person. You know, can you just kind of be, you know, my wing person, right? Can you kind of be my buffer here?
That's actually a good one. I have an aunt, and she's always in trouble with somebody. It's like, oh, she's having an argument with this such and such person, or she's having an argument with my cousin or my aunt or my uncle. And it always makes things to be a little bit uncomfortable. And I know it's bound to happen. She'll have an argument with me. and it's going to make things so awkward. But, you know, if a person is kind of abrasive like that, how can you deal with that? When, I don't know how to explain it, like, there are some people where they don't want you to pick the other person's side. It always has to be their side. Like, you have to always be on my team. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I think when folks, you know, enter conversations that way, where it has to be kind of their way or no way, I need to be right, I don't have room for negotiation, I'm not really interested in hearing your side, it can be really hard to stomach those kinds of conversations. And quite frankly, you're probably not going to be, you know, the person that's going to change their mind on that. Some of it can really, really rub you the wrong way and really, really put a lot of strain and burden on you. And I think, one, understanding kind of what that's about for the other person. And so I do like to, when I'm working with folks, help them understand where other people are coming from so that it doesn't feel as personal and you can let some more things sort of roll off. Right. And so people who can't negotiate, people who always want to be right, usually are coming from places of really deep wounding or insecurity. Right. And I mean insecurity in a non-judgmental way. Right. That folks who don't feel like they have been heard, folks who don't feel like they get enough attention, or folks that are maybe acting out of shame or embarrassment or social anxiety, aren't always very good at navigating conversations that flow back and forth, right? They tend to take up a lot of space emotionally and in conversation. And so in knowing that, you know, you can protect some of your energy by kind of not investing as much vulnerability in those relationships, right? That you can sort of consider them to be, you know, similarly to maybe an acquaintance, even if they occupy sort of a closer relationship to you, in terms of maybe relation, right? So maybe this is a close family member. But to interact with them maybe the same way you would kind of just interact with someone, you know, kind of on the street, where you kind of humor them. And again, not in a judgmental or condescending way, but maybe you do a lot more kind of permitting and reflecting without sort of engaging emotionally so that they're not sort of sucking from you.
Yeah, like almost like, what do they call those vampiric energy people? Like they just take all, like just suck it all out of you. It's like,
yeah, right. Because, you know, some ways, sometimes the best way to win is to kind of not play, right? So if these are folks that really aren't going to hear you anyways, and you're not talking about something that feels really important and significant to you, that you can kind of just, you know, find a place within yourself that has compassion that, okay, it's really important for this person to be able to have the floor on this, right? Is it very important to me? No, not really. Okay, I'm going to smile and nod. I'm going to be polite, and then I'm going to make a graceful exit kind of as soon as I can, right? When I notice I'm reaching my threshold, right, that's the point in time where I'm going to do an act of self-care and separate myself from this conversation.
You know, when it comes to family, I think it's a little bit easier because you're right. You can just kind of separate it, nod your head. Oh, I'm only going to see you, you know, 3 days out of the year. So it's not that hard, or it shouldn't be. But what about like in when it's work? You see these people 5 days a week. Sometimes you even have to deal with them in your off hours through like emails and texts. So how would you deal with somebody in that kind of situation, their coworker or even your boss?
I love, try and have these as real conversations. Quite often, no matter who the person is, quite often folks don't realize, right, when they are maintaining or creating or perpetuating toxic energy, right? And if you've already done the work in reflecting with yourself and noticing your own unmet needs, right, if you're noticing the places at which you're feeling drained or strained or uncomfortable, right, is there any room to have an actual conversation with the other person about this? Right, hey, sometimes I feel like we kind of get off on the wrong foot. You know, I've noticed that when we blank, right, or when you blank, right, insert behavior in the blank, right, I start to feel a little blank, right, and use a real feeling. Right. And what I would love is if we could, right, and insert here the thing that you need or the thing that you would want to be different, right? You can also go a step further and kind of explain it, right? The reason I wanted to have this conversation with you is because we work together all the time, and I want things to flow back and forth, you know, in a way that feels good for both of us.
I like that. You have to kind of be empathetic to the situation. You can't just kind of think other things. But, you know, that's another thing. When it comes to these types of relationships, a lot of times people don't like to think, oh, it's me. Oh, how, yeah, right? So it's like it's everybody else who has the problem, not me. How do you know when it is you? Like you are the problem to the relationship.
Yeah, and this is why I, you know, encourage folks to not judge or label people as toxic. Because labels are circular, right? So as you walk around saying, it's you toxic person, right? That there are always opportunities for someone to turn around and label you that way, right? But when you notice, you know, or when you wonder, or maybe you don't wonder, about whether it is you, if you're creating this energy, if you're maintaining this dynamic, think about what feedback you've gotten from other people. Because quite often people will try and let you know, right? So you go home to your partner and you're venting about your day and you're saying, so-and-so is such a blankety blank, 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 and I just had the worst day, right? And if the feedback that you seem to get from them often is, what made you decide to send that email, right? Or that sounds kind of passive aggressive, or, ooh, that was not a great thing to say, right? That folks around you who care about you, right, some of them will try and do, you know, the nice thing and take your side and, you know, allow you space to vent, right? But if there are people who are kind of your tough love people, your honest feedback people, right, that are starting to say to you, dude, that was not cool, right, to listen to that, right? And if you kind of find or feel like maybe people are creating a lot of distance from you, right, to check in on that. Right, because if it's happening kind of over and over and over again, we have to be able to track some patterns that are happening in our lives, and there might be something that you're doing that's creating that outcome.
You know, my father used to tell me, when you have to ask, you know you did something wrong. So I always, like, I think of that whenever I have to ask, like, oh, should I not have cut that person off? And it's like, if I have to ask, I probably shouldn't have cut them off.
It's really important for us to be asking, right? But I also think that, you know, sometimes we just want to, you know, get a little bit of validation, or sometimes we're not sure, right, that the world is not split evenly into black and white. We exist in all kinds of shades and nuances of gray. And so being able to check in with other people about, you know, what might have you done in that situation, or, you know, what were my other options, or, you know, especially if you're feeling just unsure about it, right? If you're feeling a little bit unclear about, did I make the right choice here? That doesn't inherently mean that, at least to me, doesn't necessarily mean that you made the wrong choice, but I think it's always great to check in on what your options were.
For those listening, where can they find you at? Do you have social media or a website?
Yeah, so I am the only millennial who is new to Twitter. So I recently opened my Twitter, my professional Twitter, and so it's my first name and last name, so Shadeen Francis. I have a website, which is ShadeenFrancis.com. I am in private practice and also do workshops and corporate trainings. Sometimes organizations notice, for example, in terms of toxicity, some organizations will realize, oh, we actually have a really problematic work culture here and we need to figure out some other strategies. That's absolutely work that I do. So if you would like to connect with me either for individual, couple, relationship, or organizational work, you can find me at my website at ShadeenFrancis.com.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at MasonVeraPayne.com. That's MasonVeraPayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.